Well, hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Clatch. Oh, here we are. You're listening to the voice of Vashon 101.9, Vashon Island.
KVSHLP.
Thank you.
Voiceofvashon.org.
Thanks. It's really wonderful to have help. Hi, I'm your host, Linda Nygaard, and we are, what are we doing? We're embarking on the first episode of The Clatch.
Let's talk story.
This is where we get to say the things we think about. No holds barred. And maybe we'll say the things you're thinking, but don't dare say. Mm. Anyway, I'm your host, Linda Nygaard. I don't know why, really, that I'm your host, but...
Because it was your idea.
Oh, okay. But we're all chomping at the bit to talk. And this premise could take a left pretty soon because we don't have any real agenda for
going off the rails, people.
Who speaks when? And with me are my compatriots, Susan McCabe.
Hello.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hi there.
We're three women of varying circumstances, all with big mouths, bright and sometimes crazy ideas, some pretty good humor,
I would say.
And we invite you to share with us this hour of repartee. Badinage, is that a good word? Badinage?
I don't know what that means.
Entre nous?
It's an old, yeah, it's French, and it just means banter. It's another way. Anyway, we don't care how long you lived on Vashon or who's your daddy. We just want to know what you think about. And next time, we're going to have an email and a phone number because we want your participation as well. This is our time to talk about stuff that nobody wants to talk about. So first, let's introduce ourselves. Let's do that. We'll do it a little bit differently by asking each other questions.
So let's start by asking you questions,
you're
Linda.
It, baby.
Oh, geez. Why me? Always first. Okay. Here
okay.
I go.
Okay. Linda.
What?
What brought you to Vashon Island?
It was kind of a Sputnik deal.
You landed in a little...
I got Sputniked in.
A little tin can.
Yeah. Oh. I had lived in Oregon for 20 years, and I was just tired of being there. It was time for a change. So I moved to Seattle, where I have a son. And I found that I was on Vashon all the time because I had a friend who lived here. And I had come to Vashon several times previously, like in the way dark past, for weekends and that kind of thing. And I liked it, and... So when I realized I was spending so much time here, I thought, why am I paying all these ferry fees? Because I really want to live there. That's really the truth.
That adds up.
Yeah, it really does. And it was, you know, as you know, it was hard to find a place to live. And I went through many adventures finding a place to live here. Some worked, some didn't.
Did you couch surf?
No, not really. I rented. Okay. And I, you know, I found little places, some good, some bad, you know. But so that's how that happened. It was kind of... serendipity. And the thing of it is, the friend who lived here, my friend Margie, I had met on Facebook. I didn't know her in person.
Oh, wow. That was brave.
I know. So then I came over and we met at the hardware store for lunch in person. Huh. And then I just kept coming over to visit her, and then
so
Vashon became home.
An expensive ferry habit.
Yeah, I did.
Did she stick around or is she gone?
She's gone.
Dang.
She, yeah, I know, that's what happened. She moved to La Jolla.
That's where my mom just moved here from.
From La Jolla.
La Jolla.
Yeah, it's a change. It is a change. So that's how I got here. How did you get here, Susan?
I got here again through a friend. Oh. I had a corporate job in Chicago that allowed me to literally travel around the world on a regular basis.
Oh, wow. How nice.
And, oh, I loved it. I loved that part of it.
Definitely. What a blessing.
It was. My best friend from Illinois moved out to Seattle, and I started visiting her, and her friends lived here on Vashon Island. And so I came to this island, and I thought, ooh, this is magical. This is a really magical place. So when I decided to dump the corporate job and become a freelance writer, I thought it would be so romantic to do it on an island in Puget Sound.
Very romantic.
Yeah.
So well, it is romantic.
It is romantic. And so I don't know poop about Seattle. Because I've lived here. I lived in Seattle for 1 month with my friend and her partner. And I thought, well, you know, the quintessence of this move would be to be able to live on Vashon Island.
Yeah.
And the best rent was here, and it worked out. And I rented a little house on the Quartermaster Harbor for 3 years.
Oh, you did?
Man. Yeah.
It nice.
Was just... It was romantic.
The water, living on the water on this island.
It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It was great. Yeah. And I felt like this was my home the moment I landed here.
That's beautiful.
I felt that way too before I landed here. Really. I mean, I've been coming over and meeting people and seeing things, and it just felt like the right place to be.
And so how many years for you?
25.
25?
Eight.
Eight?
I'm a newcomer.
Yeah. You are.
She is.
You're not supposed to ask me that.
I'm sorry. That's surprising to me. And eight is like actually a really long time, but yeah.
But not on Vashon.
No.
Well,
you know, I've never lived anywhere as long as I've lived
But
here.
That's why we said we don't care who's your daddy or how long you've been here.
That's right.
That's fair.
You know.
I'm not judging.
So you are starting with how long you've been here, Heidi Skrypek. So tell us more. How did you get here whenever you got here?
I got here by way of Honolulu, where I was working for Gannett Pacific, working at the newspaper. And I had this brilliant idea that coming to Vashon Island, where my then husband grew up, would save our marriage. It was a noble thought.
How did that work out?
Well, the lesson there is it doesn't matter the venue. That's not where the marriage gets mended.
So it's
happens somewhere else.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Yeah, that's
it's it. It's totally the 12-step mantra right there, yes. Baby.
Yeah.
So, 2004, I showed up by myself. I got a job where I had freelanced long distance for a PR firm. And I was offered relocation package and full salary. So I literally got on a plane, showed up with a sleeping bag and a suitcase.
Wow.
Found a rental based on a list of criteria that was dictated to me by my then husband.
And it should have been a clue.
Duh. Yeah. But that was the whole marriage. So I found a great little rental on the West Side Highway. And it had a view of Colvos. And it was very serene.
How nice.
And it was all that. So... threw down, waited for the family to show up about a month later, but I lived with an alarm clock, a sleeping bag, and my suitcase, and I commuted on the fast ferry to work every single day, just getting my island groove.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the days of walk-in takeout, that awesome little,
Was
a Thai restaurant.
Yeah, I remember walk-in takeout.
With Howard Koenig or Koenig. Oh man, that restaurant was so good.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and you get this big thing of Thai food and just little old me in that house, it would last me like three meals.
Yeah.
So I was just loving it.
Well,
anyway.
You got it figured out as you went.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's how I got here.
2004.
So 17 years.
I've been here longer than anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Geez, I feel old.
Oh,
well, don't go there. We're not going there.
Oh, we're not going into old. Okay.
Not yet. We'll do
not
that later.
This,
That'll
not
be a different
show. Yeah.
But also, it is the longest I've ever lived in any one place.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's funny how it kind of grabs you and holds on.
I'm not going anywhere.
Home.
I love it.
No, I'm not going anywhere either.
Yeah.
I'm
good.
Here.
Good.
Yeah. And this is where I live now. And it feels, you know, sometimes I think I'd like to be closer to my kids.
Yeah.
But I just really am home here. So.
They can come here.
They do.
Good.
Well, I mean, they will once we get out of, you know, once we're all vaccinated, get our shots.
How's that going for you?
It's going all right. I got one.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm getting one on Thursday.
Oh, good.
Saturday.
Good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, you know, I know. So what surprised you about Vashon, Heidi?
Oh.
Or like now, what didn't you expect?
there's a couple things that stand out for me. One is, which happened in that first rental, and just yesterday, utilities failing.
Oh. Yeah, yesterday.
You must live on the north end.
Why, yes,
yes,
I do.
For those who don't know, the water main broke.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Heights water.
About this time yesterday.
Yeah, and we didn't have any water. Actually, I have to send out big kudos to the staff at the Heights Water Company because they worked all night long and I woke up with water.
I know. Amazing. Aww. I think it came on at like 5:30 or something.
Did it?
But one copywriter, I'm a copywriter, by the way, and in crisis messaging, it's a really good idea to explain to the customer, aka the shareholder, that means you actually don't have water service because it said, we have a water main break and we're working to resolve it. You may want to turn off your main.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't actually say
you don't have water.
You don't have water. You're going to run out of water. Capacity may or may not be reduced. There was no...
Don't flush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's a key takeaway. Just living on an island, When I lived in Cove Apartments briefly, there would be times when the aquifer would run dry and we had no water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then storms. No power.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Like, I grew up on Coronado Island. It's a city. Well. It's not the same.
Storms.
and then Honolulu and San Francisco and the stuff.
Yeah.
And Honolulu just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But on Vashon Island, oh my God, it happens all the time.
Yeah, when people sneeze big, we lose power.
Well, you know, coming from Oregon, I lived on the Oregon coast, and we had some major, major storms there, too. So the electricity thing and the water thing, to me, didn't surprise me. It was like, oh, yeah, that probably happens.
See?
But
you're used to it. How about you?
For surprise?
Yeah, what surprised you?
As friendly as people are and as open as people are, it's very hard to make your way into new friendships.
Totally fair.
On Vashon. I mean,
in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, Seattle, I wouldn't
it's
even try
there. It's
called
the Seattle freeze.
The freeze. Yeah.
It bleeds over here.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a Vashonite, so I don't care about what happens in Seattle. But, yeah, it was lonely, and it was, as people are so friendly and so outgoing, and everyone's always smiling and saying hello, and then it comes to the point of maybe having coffee or doing something different. And it's, you know, when you're new, people don't think about you.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was a surprise.
That's fair. Yeah.
But the other surprises on the other end of it were these wonderful little shops or wonderful little trails that you find that lead you to heaven. And you don't even know really where you are. The little trails off Shingle Mill or...
Oh, literally, you know, the trails.
Literally the trails. That was surprising.
Metaphorically.
No. Oh, well, we could.
Go yeah. on.
No, I'm not going to talk about those trips.
Oh, we will at some point.
Yeah, at some point we will.
We can say anything we want.
Anything surprising for you, Susan?
Oh, a lot, actually. I mean, I came from a city to this place, and the lack of anonymity struck me painfully at first. You know, in Chicago, I would really work at not getting to know my neighbors. I did not want to know them, did not want to be close to them. My friends were people that I knew and trusted and had experience with, and my neighbors, well, I, you know, some of them were nuts. You assume they're nuts.
Yeah.
Here it was, everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
The more public the jobs I got after I moved out of freelancing, the more I knew about people that I didn't want to know. So I have this storehouse of information in my head now about people.
You know too much.
I know too much.
You know too much.
Now we're going to have to kill you.
You know what? It's totally true. And I will say, I met Susan when I was a volunteer with Vashon Ski School, when my children were young. And Susan was at the Park District, and I liked her right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some meetings where we would have to go and just touch base on various things with Ski Bus. And I just loved her because she was so businesslike and succinct, and there's I can't say it on the air because it's a bad word, but no beepy beepy. She's just so on it. I was like, this is a smart lady, and I just like her. You were just such a good businesswoman, and I just dug you. Anyway, I'm so happy I get to hang out with you in a different context.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
And that one of the things I learned coming to Seattle, particularly starting a freelance business. I was coming from Chicago where, you know, I'm direct.
I say
what I think and my work speaks for me.
Yep.
Either you like it or you don't.
And that's it. You're predicated on your work.
On your work, right. Yeah. So I lay out my portfolio. They take it or they didn't. You know, okay, fine. Here, no, you know, you'd get the Seattle freeze. Oh, that's really lovely. We'll give you a call. Crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets. Mm-hmm. And I had to tamp down my directness quite a bit.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And I've kind of taken it back.
Well, I was going to say, I don't sense tamping down anymore.
Susan's a dude.
Yeah.
In the workplace.
Well, and how did we three meet? I think we met through the radio. I think we met through
Voice
of Vashon.
I think so. Well, of course, I did meet Heidi years ago.
Before
at the Park
that,
District.
Yeah.
But
I met you at Snapdragon when I had that idea for Stirring the Pot show.
I interviewed you.
You interviewed me. Yeah, and Jeff Hoyt was there. So we did that. And then one day I heard some reggae.
Hey.
And then I met somebody who loves reggae and knows what she's talking about. So, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, it's a great show.
But
Heidi,
we got to hang out socially, which I really enjoyed.
It's really fun to hang out socially. So
we need that.
Well, you know, Voice of Vashon, speaking of anonymity or lack thereof, has been a great collecting point of interesting folks.
Oh, yeah.
And it has I would have to say most of them are not Washington natives. Or even Seattle natives.
Not at all.
Most of the folks on Voice of Vashon have come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of folks on Voice of Vashon, of course, who have professional radio experience.
Which helps.
Yes.
It does help.
Yes, yes, it helps. Yeah.
And IT experience and climbing towers and wiring experience.
Well,
all of it.
Some of that is just, hey, how hard can it be?
Oh, that's...
It's hard.
Which has...
It's hard.
Sometimes... That worked out so well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Voice of Vashon is a great place for the community, and it is a great community in and of itself.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, you know, one of the things that prompted us to start doing this show was Coffee Klatch. I remember I was having Zoom meetings or Zoom coffee with friends, and I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be fun to have coffee again with friends?
Yes.
And like face to face.
Like face to face and really, you know, smell the coffee and maybe have some coffee cake or something, you know. And how nice it would be if we could include some of the community in that Coffee Klatch.
Yes.
So that's sort of what we're trying to do here, folks, is we want you involved as well. And as soon as we get a phone number and an open line and a email address, we'll let you know. It'll probably be next time.
In the meantime, you can use my email address. I have a Voice of Vashon email address. It's very simple, susan.mccabe@voiceofvashon.org. So if there's something you'd like us to talk about, like, I don't know, boobs.
Sure. We can talk about
we
boobs.
We can talk about boobs.
We can fill the hour with boobs.
Yeah. Of course.
Or, that would be a fun promo.
An hour of boobs.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We don't really have an agenda of what we want to talk about, but we want to talk about stuff that matters or that we're thinking about.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a good idea.
And right now, I think the COVID isolation and you know, how we've all been doing.
Yeah.
How have we been doing? We said earlier, somebody said, well, how are you? And that's kind of a loaded question now.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you answer that? So we three have different circumstances throughout COVID. And I thought it would be interesting if we just talked a little bit about our experiences in the isolation and how we feel and what are we doing to keep ourselves sane during this time?
I think that's a great thing to come back to. I'm going to go ahead and jump the shark really quickly and do some quick station.
Oh, good.
Supporter
Thank you.
Breaks.
Oh,
and
yes.
Underwriters.
And I do want to jump into that. So
okay, great.
Just
thanks.
Ever so briefly.
Heidi's running the board today, so she has a big job.
Bear with me.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island, on the web at thsrestaurant.com.
Thank you to our supporters, our underwriters. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so, we wouldn't be here without you.
Heck no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I asked Linda on a Zoom call, pandemic-wise, are you happy?
That's a tough one.
Instead of how are you, I just asked her flat out, white, black, yes, no question. And I don't know if you want to share your answer.
I said no.
She did. She said no. Very quickly. There was like zero pause.
Yeah, but on our next Zoom, I had to clarify that a little bit because that was very momentary.
Okay.
At the moment, I was very unhappy.
Fair enough.
Generally, yes. Now, after many months of adjusting to a different way of being.
Okay.
And it is a different way of being.
You know, I think that's been true for all of us.
I think it
everybody
has too.
I've spoken to has had dramatic ups and downs throughout this process.
Yeah.
Some days I feel great. Some days I love the fact that I'm alone. I don't have to go anywhere and I can do whatever I want here at home. And some days I want to scream.
Yeah.
Some days I want to kill my spouse. Some days I want to just stay in bed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody goes through the same feelings. Or I've just revealed that I'm totally insane and no one else thinks this way.
When you were freelancing before COVID times, did you work from home in the home? Or do you have a workspace?
Okay. Yeah, no. Well, I have an office in my home.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you were ready for this in that
respect. Yeah, actually, life didn't change that much.
I don't know. Because I was freelance for years and years and years and years. Used to working on my own and being alone and, you know, as a writer.
Yeah.
You're by yourself all the time, basically.
For sure.
You mm-hmm. have to yeah. be. Mm-hmm. So, but this is different. This is a different alone, I think, for me.
Okay.
It's not a, well, I'm not working. I'm not freelancing. That's not the part that makes me be alone. You know, it's restrictions and isolation and
so
fear.
It's not your choice.
No, it's
you
not my choice.
You don't get to choose to be alone. No. You
However,
have no option.
I found the most interesting thing. I don't know how much you guys know about Myers-Briggs, you know, the INFP, all that
sure.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right on the cusp of extrovert and introvert. So it's been interesting from that regard, you know, because part of me just really loves the idea that I just get to go to my little living room and have my little cat and read my little books, you know, not really have to worry about anything. And then the other side of it is, oh, my God, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no way to talk to. My cats don't speak English yet. But
do they speak French?
Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a tough one to wrap your head around. Yeah.
But I think one of the things that happened for me during this time is really reckoning with alone in a way that is not, I don't have a partner, I'm alone. It's the kind of aloneness that everybody has in yeah. partnership or not. It's really important that you come to grips with your aloneness. And I have one little thing I want to read. I promise I won't read very much, but you know John O'Donohue, who's a wonderful writer and poet, and he was talking about being alone and how it's utterly vital to come into the rhythm of your own individuality, which I think some of us have done in this time. People are doing new things.
Yep.
They're doing different things. They're investigating themselves. And what he said that I really loved is, this is a slow and open-ended transition, but utterly vital in order to come into rhythm with your own individuality. In a sense, this is the endless task of finding your true home within your life. It's not narcissistic, for as soon as you rest in the house of your own heart, doors and windows begin to open outwards to the world. No longer on the run from your aloneness, your connections with others become real and creative. You no longer need to covertly scrape affirmation from others or from projects outside yourself. This is slow work. It takes years to bring your mind home.
I love that.
I love
that. I think
that's
wonderful. Isn't and it? You know, I think that is our basic life lesson.
Yep. It is, absolutely. And I'm still learning it, you know, but I have learned that the alone is not lonely.
Right.
Good.
It's not lonely. It was in the beginning of COVID. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. I can't talk to anybody. I can't see anybody. But I was very scared in the beginning. Like, I didn't see anybody for months and months. So
scared now, of the disease.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I feel, you know, I had a shot. So, okay. And I'm wearing my mask and doing everything, you know. But I think this alone thing is going to accompany me for a long time. And
yeah.
I find it in the walks in the forest or just sitting and pondering, just the silence.
That's a good outcropping of the pandemic.
It is.
For sure.
For me, it feels good.
You know, yeah. I've been a solitude junkie a good portion of my life.
Yeah, you are. You know, that, you really are.
That Myers-Briggs thing, I too am on the cusp.
Are you?
But frankly, I got into journalism because it allowed me to hide behind the questions,
exactly.
the impudent questions that I could ask anybody and not really reveal anything about myself.
Ah. I always thought with freelancing, it gave you license to ask the stupid questions.
Well, that's the job of a journalist.
It is.
Your job is because to ask the stupid questions.
If you know, if you don't know, nobody else does either. Or other people are interested
right, you have
in
to assume, yeah, that other people have the same questions. So you have to have the courage to look stupid, but you don't have to be yourself.
Right.
All three of us are freelance writers. We didn't actually mention that at the lead, but
I was just recognizing that as we were talking.
There's that other thing. We make our living typing and communicating and crafting messages and strategy.
And wrestling over the word.
Absolutely.
The word, whatever it is.
Possessive, it's never splits.
The perfect one. Mm-mm. The perfect word. No. Yeah.
So I know also that a couple of my friends have felt, who are married, have felt, one couple I know is drifting farther and farther apart. They found that they really don't like each other anymore.
Wow.
And another couple I know is has found brand new love, you know, like rejuvenating the original feeling. And
so cool.
I just, that's just pretty wonderful too. So, and you guys are married. What's going on at home? Tell.
Actually, I think we've done both.
Have you?
Yeah. There have been times when we have really been far apart, and we spend a lot of our day just doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. He's got an office, I've got an office. But we've also gotten a lot closer. We've had conversations that we might not have ever had before. I think we've become emotionally more intimate with one another. And one of the things I realized early on was, I got to be nice to this guy.
You better.
He's the only human I get to touch.
Yeah.
And I'm a big hugger. I'm a big toucher.
I know.
And,
me too.
Yeah. And the fact that hugs and touching friends have been taken away is
really
hard.
I really hate that the most.
Yeah.
That's been tough.
Well, Susan came up with the, remember the CYA? We're always trying to CYA. Well, she does CYH. Consider yourself hugged.
Right.
Oh, I love that.
And that came from my dear departed friend, Kate Hunter.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I saw her in the grocery store kind of early in the pandemic, and she gave me CYH.
Oh, that's really
beautiful.
Cute.
Yeah.
You've been working on home improvement, too. That's your...
Oh, yeah. We've been doing that.
That's big thing.
That is sometimes a relationship builder, and sometimes it's a relationship killer, and it depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, we've been doing that too. And that has been another, actually another byproduct of the pandemic. Not just us, but lots of folks have been doing home remodeling, gardening. Kathy's Corner.
Oh, my gosh.
Is prospering like crazy and has been.
Good. Yeah. Kathy's Corner, I'm so happy for you. That's awesome. Yeah. I definitely have contributed to that.
I too. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She said, was it in September, October? She said, it feels like May. We're so busy.
Well, the weather today is like May.
Well, except that it's
gorgeous.
Cold.
Yeah, but it's beautiful.
It is absolutely stunning.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, Dave and I, same thing.
So how's it going with you guys?
Right when the pandemic began, David had started to demo our one and only main bathroom. We have a little half bath.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. So thank goodness we had all our supplies purchased because there was a major supply chain issue that followed.
Yeah.
He got it done, and my dad needed some help, so I flew down to San Diego to care for him for a little bit, and that gave David time to just
machen
Stau auf Deutsch. That means make a big mess. And he definitely did. And he would send me play by play photos. And by the time I got back, it was just a few more weeks. So it took about 6 weeks in total. And we have this beautiful new, but still very small, but so well designed bathroom.
Oh, good.
So there's that.
Nice.
He's also a builder by trade. So loving that.
Yeah.
And we're super close. But let me tell you one thing that this gave us a great opportunity. This pandemic gave us some downtime to look at our personal finances. I've never really paid attention to the stock market and alternative investments and how to make our money be smarter. And so this whole past year, that's been the most wonderful thing that's come out of this pandemic is we both got really smart about our personal finances.
Wow.
Made our money work for ourselves a little bit more and just started like more deductions, more receipts, more understanding, you know, where things can help us make more money.
So you're going to start a new career as a financial advisor?
Definitely not. I might write about some stuff. I do write for an investment capital management company already. Yeah. It's just one of my clients. So it's been really fun.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so what's David doing?
He has been really busy doing just one man remodeling jobs on the island. He's licensed and bonded. So people, he's been doing a lot of work for a property manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's good. Busy. Yeah. But right now he's enjoying a break and he's doing our flower beds right now. He's just rebuilding the perimeters.
Oh, I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a business area that has blossomed during the pandemic as well. A lot of people are doing remodeling and construction, new construction. We've got in our North End neighborhood three brand new houses going up.
Oh,
wow. Big ones. $1 million homes.
Wow.
Which is another subject.
You're
that
in
would
the high-rent district of the North.
Affordable housing. Yeah, that's one of our topics, is affordable housing.
Definitely.
That will,
It's a good one.
Yeah, we live on the cheap side of the expensive street.
Okay.
That's the best place to live.
The cheap
according
side
to investments.
Of the expensive street. Okay.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Good. Good, good, good.
So other pandemic
cooking.
What about cooking? How's that been?
Epic.
I am tired of it.
Yeah.
I kind of gave up cooking when my kids left home anyway.
Well, Luke likes to cook.
Luke
too.
Loves to cook, but even he is burning out on
is
it.
Is he?
Yeah.
David's a former chef.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're spoiled
rotten. So we're coming to your, we can't come to your house unless we can eat outside in the cold.
She'll leave a bag on the porch.
We'll figure that out.
That's it. With financial advice in the lunch bag.
Yes.
I like that.
Well, one of the things that's happened about cooking is it doesn't matter when you eat now. It doesn't matter if
it's...
To
me, it does.
Does it? Oh, to you? See, it doesn't to me. If I'm hungry at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm hungry for dinner, I'll have it. And then
well, that's because you live alone.
Right, right. Well, part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Luke's kind of got... Well, breakfast and lunch were on our own.
Yeah.
But dinner is...
Well, he cooks, doesn't he?
He cooks. Yeah. We do dinner together. We often have cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Around 5.
ding, ding, ding.
Well, it's not 2.
We haven't quite gone there yet, but who knows?
Who knows what's coming?
Yeah, in fact, I have a funny story about that, but maybe I can tell that later.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. But it's awesome. Yeah, and I've become one with the Instant Pot. For so much.
Yeah.
I'm using all my food scraps. I'm doing stocks. And then I'm making chicken. Like chicken adobo is so easy.
It's so easy. Oh, and it's so, so good.
Chicken adobo?
Adobo.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's actually, that's on my list. I'm making that this weekend.
It's
so good.
It's worth it. And make lots so you have leftovers.
And you can freeze it
too. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So send me the recipe.
I've had a lot of popcorn for dinner sometimes. You know?
That is my favorite meal. Popcorn in a movie.
Yeah.
David will make a bowl, and I'm putting my arms in complete circumference right now. That big in the evening.
Of popcorn. I was going to say of adobo.
Not adobo.
You eat it with your fingers.
Yeah.
Put your face in the bowl.
And so, it's an event in our home about 2 or 3 times a week. It's pretty good.
Well, that's been an interesting thing, that not going to the grocery store every time, oh gosh, I don't have any parsley. I better run to the store.
Okay.
So I don't do that anymore. And it has ended up saving me a lot of money.
It does save a lot of money.
Saved me a lot of money because for the last 3 days, I've had to go to the grocery store. And I just can't. And so it's been really interesting. And I've had really good food that I was forced to look in my pantry and in my refrigerator and figure something out.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, I made chicken lasagna last night with bechamel and broccoli.
There you go.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is good. Who knew I had that in the fridge?
See, I think that's a great game.
What?
Door knock dinners.
What's in your fridge?
Door knock dinner. I like that. Yeah, look in the fridge, look in the cupboard. Okay, what can we make?
Mm-hmm.
David, when we first were dating, he came up to visit because I imported my man to the island.
Mm-hmm. Smart. The moat is very helpful.
I didn't where I ate.
Right.
David came to visit and I didn't keep a whole lot in the fridge because, at that time I was a single gal with joint custody. And so when the kids and I ate, we'd typically go out and I was working downtown, blah, blah. Anyway, David opens up my fridge and he's like, okay, I got this. And he's in his surf trunks and his t-shirt and it's April of 2007. And he just handled it. And I didn't realize the man that I had. And
did you not know he was a chef?
I knew he had cooked, but oh my God. Like he just was doing all the stuff and he was looking at my knives, kind of like nodding, shaking his head like, these knives will not stand, And you have an electric stove, not a gas range. Now we have a gas range.
Well, of course.
But oh my God, how hot was that? That was the sexiest thing, man. That's a panty dropper.
I, yeah, that's... I want every man, if there are any of them listening, yeah, there may God. Not
there
be,
might be one.
To know that that is sexy.
It is yeah. hot.
Yeah,
that it is. And washing dishes
That's
is also
true.
Sexy.
I'll take that.
Cleaning up the kitchen after yourself is incredibly sexy.
That's a really big deal. Yeah.
Vacuuming yeah. is incredibly
yeah.
sexy.
Yeah. yeah,
he does all that.
Mm-hmm. You so do have a good sexy. One. Do you rent him out?
No, but I loved that. And so, yeah, that's the best. Just home-cooked meals, and that's definitely a wonderful byproduct mm-hmm. of the pandemic. But yes, we had the makings of it before the pandemic, and now we're just exploiting it to its ultimate.
Well, I'm exploiting my oven because I'm baking like a maniac.
Oh, cool.
And it really oh. just sort of takes me out of where I am, the whole ritual of baking and that kind of thing, you know?
Mm.
And luckily, I have people to share it with.
Yes. So I didn't see any treats this afternoon.
I didn't bake today.
She gave me cookies, and they were so good. She did. They're ridiculous.
They're gone.
I ate them in one sitting. Who are we kidding? So good.
So good.
You're a genius.
Good. She is a genius.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh.
I'll take that.
You know how to make stuff taste really good.
Oh, thanks.
Mm. And that takes a lot of study and attention and creative skill.
I guess. I don't know. I'm tired of it. I mean, I don't really enjoy cooking as much as I used to. But, well, you know, if it's something really wonderful and inventive, yes.
Okay.
But if it's regular Tuesday night dinner, you know, it's like,
well, that's what, yeah, I raised kids and, you know, to come up with, we've all done that,
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
come up with three delicious meals every day, 365 days a mm-hmm. year, it's exhausting.
It is.
And it
is.
Makes food not very interesting.
I feel a need to switch gears a little bit here.
Okay, where are we going?
I have another question I want to ask you guys.
Okay.
What if, Heidi?
Yes.
If you could look back at your 19-year-old self.
Oh my God, I wish I brought my pictures. I just came across some, yes?
What advice would you give yourself at 19?
Don't shack up so young. I was 18 years old. Just out of high school, mm-hmm. starting college. I did do that for myself. I got straight into school. I didn't mess around, but I moved in with somebody.
Too soon.
Oh, so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to have that raging slut phase.
Yeah. Well, and the very beginnings of what it's like to be alone. That's
exactly.
You know,
yes.
I have a granddaughter now who's 20, and she's living with a roommate, but she's thinking, I think I want my studio apartment so I can just have myself. I'm thinking, good for you, you know, because that's a really important piece of growing up.
It is. And mm-hmm. then, and it was fine. I mean, I knew everything. I didn't, it wasn't like I was completely reliant on that person
mm-hmm.
for like, how am I going to get my groceries or whatever. I worked, I went to school, and I had this person that I lived with. But there, you know, unfortunately, I was kind of separated from the people that I grew up with and my friends by extension of that. Like suddenly
yeah.
you're sort of coupled in that.
You're in this other world, yeah. really.
And that person was not interested in hanging out with my friends.
Right.
And so unfortunately, I lost contact with so many of them for so long. And happy story, fast forward, is after I ended up marrying and having children with this person. But after we divorced, I reconnected with all my old
with
friends.
With all of them. Oh,
and thank
nice.
God they took me back with open arms and they understood completely.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. So we're all good again. But yeah, looking back, and then I see these pictures of myself and I was, oh my God, just little tender young
little
thing.
Tiny thing. So innocent, really, and thinking you were a woman of the world.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
not really. Think of all the men I could have banged. Just kidding. Just kidding. David, I love you. I'm so happy I just have one no. Because,
yeah.
you know, in a way, that's kind of overrated. But because I have everything I need now.
That's good.
But at 19, that's not how it goes.
Well, 19. That's right. 19's a different deal.
Yeah.
What about you, Susan? If you had to look
kind
back.
Of similar. I think I would say wallow in your independence. Exploit that. Mm-hmm. Be adventurous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wish I had been more adventurous. I grew up in the 60s and I thought I was supposed to get married and have kids.
Okay.
And so I did.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But if I were talking to me now and I was 19, I would say, take off, explore, mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. adventurous and yeah. do more. And that said, I did get married. I did have kids. Then I went to college. I got independent and I did my life and I made up for lost time and I had my misspent youth in my 40s.
Okay.
After my kids left home.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and yeah. Banged all those guys.
You were young.
Oh, yeah. I was very young when I had my kids.
And
yeah.
you were young when they were, when you were empty nested.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It worked out beautifully. So yeah, I had some nice life segments, different lives, just not in the same order that everybody else did it.
Yeah. What about you when you were 19?
Linda? I would tell Linda Marie to get a backpack and go to Paris immediately. That's yeah. what I would say. Mm-hmm. And then from there, jump around in Kay. Europe. Go yeah. to Morocco. I would do that. I would say travel.
Morocco.
At least for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Just travel. Work a little bit, travel a little bit.
Yeah.
And then come home and decide what you want to do. Because the world is such a big place. And when you're a kid like that, you don't realize it unless you can travel. And I didn't travel when I was a kid. I traveled when I was a freelance travel writer.
Yeah. Me too. I didn't travel until somebody paid me to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually think I did the don't do what you did to my children. So when Alexander, my older son, said, I want to go do exchange in China, I'm like, how much?
Let me write the check. Like, when can we do this?
Totally. Yeah. And he's like, I love it there. I want to
live there. There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still in China.
Teaching university in the middle of China. And he loves it. He's got a wonderful Chinese girlfriend, lives in faculty housing, exports tea on the side.
Oh, that's fun. It's
fantastic.
Oh, and speaks fluent Mandarin. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, I think my kids got that I'm going to live my mom's dream thing.
See?
As well. And they have vowed never to have children because they saw that as an anchor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. But they've traveled around the world.
We're going to do a quick little underwriter shout out.
On programming. Oops. Is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's green credit union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids' specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And we're back. This is The Clatch.
Hi, I'm Linda.
And I'm Susan.
Heidi.
Hi.
Hi, Heidi. Heidi is our engineer this afternoon.
So Susan, you said something during the break that was interesting about...
Yeah, well, we've been talking about what we would say to our 19-year-old selves. And we're kind of in different generations. Mm-hmm. Linda and I are of one generation. Heidi's of a younger generation. Would you call yourself Generation X?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yep.
So when Linda and I grew up, there were some really rigid expectations of women. And so as much as our souls might have wanted to be adventurers, the world was putting heavy expectations on us that were very limiting. Mm-hmm. And I think there are still lots of expectations placed on women, but they may be different. What about your Gen X expectations, Heidi?
Well, I feel like how I was raised was with those same overtones that my mother grew up with, because she didn't know much differently. I never questioned that she loved me.
Yeah.
And I never questioned that she was proud of my accomplishments, but I do feel like there was a lot of validation placed on my ability to keep my weight low, to be feminine, to be sort of demure. There was a lot more praise about how I looked.
How you looked.
And my fashion than the fact that I got really good grades, the fact that I aced out of high school early, the fact that I spelled better than anybody else, and that I had this affinity for writing very young. I was reading and writing very young. But I mean, honestly, there was never any pressure to get good grades coming from the household.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was this drive. I was so competitive naturally. And so I just feel like it wasn't who I became, wasn't an outcropping or a result of what my family placed on me or those expectations. I just reached within because I wanted to be strong and independent and not have to worry about. I just didn't want to rely on a guy for my bread and butter. Seriously.
You know, as young as I was married, I never really relied on the husband. Well, except when I was home with little kids.
Right.
To support me.
Yeah, with little kids.
I always wanted to carry my own weight financially. And very often in a relationship, I was the heavy breadwinner.
See, at home now, we have his, hers, and ours.
Mm-hmm. Money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah. And that should be that way. Yeah.
It's really good.
That's my favorite arrangement as well.
And that's another thing I learned early on in my youth and actually into my 30s is the hard way is like, you need to have your own.
Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Sorry. I want to hear from both of you about that expectation though in your generation.
So what expectations did you carry into your adulthood or into your late adolescence? When you were 19, what did you think you were supposed to be?
You know, I don't think I had any idea. I really don't. I wanted to be an archaeologist or a psychologist or the litany of things that I was going to do and study in college. But there was the overarching theme of I have to be married. I have to get married.
Oh, man.
You know? I mean, I was raised on a ranch in Montana.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
wow.
They're wonderful people. And it's a little tiny small community. And that's what you do. You grow up, you have kids, and you die. And, you know, I think for me, I ended up getting married too soon.
Yeah.
I had two wonderful boys through that.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectation was that you would have a family and that you'd go back and visit mom and dad and, you know, live in your little house in the suburbs. And life would be just kind of lovely.
Yeah.
And the happy ending.
The happy ending. Yeah. Yeah. And the college and study and that kind of stuff came later for me as well.
Yeah.
Probably when I was in my late 20s, I decided, you know what? I want to know more stuff.
Good. You're such a better student, I think, when you go back.
I do too.
Oh, yeah.
But I think circling back to what we were talking about with COVID and what we've been doing to pass the time.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've been able to do now with COVID is thank God for the internet. I'm learning so much about stuff I didn't know. Well, I'm an aficionado of Russian history and I love British history. So I'm watching lots of documentaries and finding some good books to read and feeling sort of smug about it because I know stuff about that now that I didn't know before. You know?
There's a lot to know because the American school system, they don't teach you anything
about the world. So I'm thankful for that because it's been a whole new avenue of, I've always dabbled in it a little bit, but now I can look at it every day and keep track of what it is I'm learning, and people I'm sure get sick of hearing, did you know this about Tsar Nicholas?
That's awesome. Tell me more.
Good for you. Yeah. So, you know, women's issues, I had a difficult time when I was 19 to maybe 24 because I didn't understand feminism. I didn't understand what the women's movement was about. And the women that I saw that were in it, I didn't identify with at all. So it was a foreign world to me coming from, you know, Montana and very closed environment with local everything. And so then there were these women in New York and San Francisco and Chicago that were doing these things and saying these things that I'd never even considered. So it opened my eyes in one respect. And on the other hand, it made me afraid. Because I didn't know those. I'm not like that, you know?
Yeah, the leaders of the feminist movement were upper middle class. Didn't have to work.
They didn't have to work. And they, you know, they got to be in magazines and on TV and say outrageous things.
Yeah,
and it didn't affect my life. I never understood the burning the bra thing. I never understood that.
Oh, I was right there.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. I was one of the first to let
Chicago,
it go.
Chicago, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, see, I never wore one. So,
oh, well, there you go.
Well, not in those days.
I never needed one.
But that's another story for the boob show.
Yeah, okay. We'll save that for the boob show. Yeah. But I do think the feminist movement in our generation was powerful and in some negative ways. And
it was raw.
Well, you know, it was the you can have it all, and the people who could have it all were the people who could afford servants.
Maids.
And maids.
They already had it all.
Yeah. Au pairs. Yeah, they already had it all. You're right.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by that. I wanted to do all that. Mm-hmm. My curiosity is what led me into journalism, because I love chasing the story. I love learning new things.
I know you do.
It was the, when I was a reporter in Central Illinois, I wore makeup and sometimes wore high heels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the National Organization of Women chapter who drummed me out because I wore makeup and high heels.
Sounds like Vashon.
And dressed to go.
Just kidding.
Oh, I know. It does sound like Vashon. I got in trouble on Vashon for having painted toenails.
Oh, my.
You got in trouble?
Well, I got a rude comment from a woman that obviously didn't paint hers.
Huh. I remember being told by my landlord when I first moved to the island, you're way too dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
You look so city. Where are you going? I said, the farmer's market.
All dressed up.
He's like, wearing that?
Like that?
Yeah. I'm going, okay. I don't feel like I'm that dressed up, but apparently
That's another thing about the COVID thing, you know, is our pants. Our sweatpants, you know, and the leisure clothing manufacturing companies have just made a killing.
I'm in them now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing Zoot and Athleta.
Yeah.
And clogs. And what are those called? Not clogs.
Crocs.
Crocs. Thank you.
Ooh.
Crocs.
I know. And I always hated them. Now I can't get out
of
them.
No, you can't. Yeah.
I spend my life in yoga pants for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But personal hygiene and fashion have gone south.
Oh, man.
Considerably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an ugly thought, but it's true.
Well, yes.
And Americans tend to be so overactive about bathing. And I mean, we don't have to have a bath twice a day.
No, we don't. And Americans are superficial. You know, it's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's the package and how it's packaged and not necessarily what's underneath.
Right.
And I think one of the cool things about the pandemic has been like celebrities having to communicate with us via Zoom. We see them in their homes.
We see their homes.
With their dogs.
I love it.
With their kids interrupting in their leisure clothes without so much makeup.
So they put their pants on one leg at a time, too.
Yeah.
Yes. You know?
Right. Yeah. They're just human.
Did you see the newscaster, weather meteorologist? She was a mom, and she was obviously doing her broadcast from home.
Oh.
And then suddenly you see this little toddler just clinging, burying his face into her legs.
Oh.
And so she's just going down the line of weather in various cities. And she's like, you guys, he's walking now. I can't help
that. Nothing I can do.
She just wrapped it up and it was so beautiful. But yeah, you're right.
I saw one though that was a woman on a Zoom. She was on a Zoom call doing very important business meeting. And behind her, her husband walked eating a fudgesicle in his underwear. It was really funny.
That's great.
Her whole company saw it.
But you know, women have suffered professionally a lot in the pandemic because they've been the ones who've had to stay home with the kids.
I know.
And you know, women, when they're out of the job market for a certain period of time, don't get rehired very easily.
Not easily.
So I think the Biden administration with Kamala.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We should have a little cheer that comes up every time we say her name.
Kamala.
That's it.
Kamala. Hit that bell.
In Kamala.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that administration is looking for ways to make it, to overcome the issues that has created for women.
I think so, too. Yeah. I read an article in the New York Times yesterday about that very issue, that women are, especially young mothers, who work full time, are at the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, they're losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's really hard.
And I start wondering, how did we get here? How did we get to the place where women are second-class citizens, where, and I'm going back, I'm going to go way back now.
Back.
Yeah, where women were chattel, where mm-hmm. how did it get to be mm-hmm. that women were property? How did it get to be that everything that is ascribed to femininity is degraded, like intuition, like herbalism, like mm-hmm. Like cooperation?
Preach, preach.
Oh.
No, I like it. I like it.
Getting off my...
No, right. Be on the soapbox.
Get on the soapbox.
Get off that soapbox.
Climb up there.
Yeah. You know, I wonder how did this happen?
It's true.
How did we get here?
And by default, it's always the default. Oh, homeschooling? Mom. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cooking. Mom. Laundry.
Groceries.
Cleaning. Groceries. Mm-hmm. Aha! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's all done for free. And this economy would not be working if we had to pay for that stuff.
Can I just say one thing here, though?
Yeah.
I want to say I have two sons who are not like that.
Fantastic.
They're
did good.
Fabulous men. And yes. I think it's because of feminism. I do. Because I raised them with their partners in mind.
That's fantastic.
I did that too, and they turned out well.
And they turned out well. In fact, that came to me through a friend who was never going to have children, and she came to see my brand new baby boy, and she held him, and she got big tears in her eyes, and she said, "Oh, Linda, do me a favor." And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Raise him with his wife in mind."
Wow.
And I just, it stuck with me,
yeah,
you know,
that's
the whole
good
time.
Stuff.
And so I feel heartened by what's happening with women now.
Yeah.
And the young women that are coming out are so brilliant and brave.
Yeah.
Look at Amanda Gorman.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't she just make your heart go thump thump?
Yeah. Hope for the future right there.
Really? Right there. And so,
yeah.
You know, going back to, I mean, Barack and Michelle are working with the younger generation to bring them up and lift them. And mm-hmm. so I feel like our roots in feminism are softening a little bit.
I do too, and yet, you know, now I'm feeling a little pang of guilt
because
for my sons
why?
Who are middle-aged white men,
yeah,
and they're kind of not so popular.
I
start having conversations with them. I've been reading a lot about white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
white male supremacy, and I feel like I'm talking to the choir, and then I realize, oh, you are one. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is going to hurt you. This is going to hurt bad.
Yeah.
And your own mother is participating.
Yeah, but I don't know, Susan.
Well, they seem to take it well.
Yeah.
You know, they may be cursing me or seeking therapy.
Well, I think they have a stigma, you know, middle-aged white men. They do. And but they're not privileged in my mind,
right?
You know,
right.
Of course, that whole white privilege—that's a different subject. I'm talking about men.
Yeah,
and women
we should
and,
do that one at some point. But
yeah, we will.
That's a good one.
We will.
They're woke, though. That's the
yeah.
That's
yeah,
the
that's
difference.
The thing. We
they're
like.
Woke. They well, they woke. Work in the arts. They're woke.
Nice.
They were not raised with big privilege. We were poor.
That helps.
Yeah, my kids weren't privileged. No,
that helps a lot.
Yeah, it does.
So they're empathetic to other folks,
mm-hmm.
whatever
and
their color
good,
may be.
And they're good to women.
Yes, they're very good to women.
You know, they listen and they try to understand. And a lot of things the male side can't understand that the women...
Well, you know...
I mean, they can't. We're different species, really.
And the way our culture works, they haven't had to.
That's true.
There's no perk for the guy. In fact, the guy world, until fairly recently... puts down the guy who understands women.
Oh, yeah, he's a pussy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, is that a bad word?
That's not one of the words.
Oh,
okay, good.
No. Oh, I didn't mean to say it either. I'm sorry.
It actually isn't on our FCC list.
No, it's not. But you don't want to read that list off either.
Sorry. And leave it to me. Leave it to me. Okay, you guys do the rest of the show. I have to go home now.
There was something, maybe you posted it on Facebook. Somebody posted it and I went, oh. It's so profound. No, it wasn't you, but it was if you spoil your children, you end up raising your grandchildren.
Oh. Ooh.
And I went, oh, good to know. You know,
yeah.
That my kids had an Excel spreadsheet with chores on them, and every week they got
oh my God.
And if it wasn't done right, they had to redo it. And I'm sure they hated us at the time, but I think now they understand accountability.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard lesson to learn. Accountability is a hard one.
It needed to happen.
It needed to happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with that. No.
Well, we're almost out of time.
Are we really?
But we're not yet.
Almost. We're getting there.
We're almost there.
By the atomic clock, it's 3:59. Mm-hmm. Is the atomic clock off?
No, it's right. We're down to our last, 30 seconds. But we do want to hear from you for future shows, and we want your topic ideas. We want your conversation starters. We'd love to hear your take on living on the island. And Susan's got that email.
Susan.McCabe, M-C-C-A-B-E, at voiceofvashon.org. Send me a note. Tell
Please
us what
write
you want
to
us,
us
to talk about.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about everything. And we're going to have guests sometimes. And maybe you know somebody really interesting that has a really interesting point of view.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Oh, this was really fun. Thank you, Heidi.
Love
and
you.
Susan.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, listener.
Yes. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
And we will see you in two
weeks.